unhappy. And my children also would come home from school, and they didn't understand it when the naughty children at school were rewarded for being good when they were good all the time. Well, so they told me. But it's not just children, is it? It's all of us. I think all of us can succumb to that feeling that things aren't fair. What is our view of fairness? What are the standards by which we judge fairness? Obviously, we all look at things from our own perspective. We all have filters that we wear that affect how we see things. And often our sense of fairness and justice comes from the experiences we've had, or strong teaching we've had, or how we've been brought up. I was thinking of some examples of this. I don't know how you feel. You know when you're driving down the motorway and they shut a lane and you all filter over to the side, to the next lane, don't you? And there's always somebody who decides to go all the way down and cut in just before the bollards. Yes. Does that irritate you? Yes. It really irritates me. Then I was thinking about, you know, the recent petrol shortages. And you'd be sitting in a queue, and maybe you'd be sitting there for 30 minutes, and you'd see somebody who was waved through the queue. Now, you didn't know, did you, whether that person just happened to be the person's best friend, or whether, say, it was an ITU nurse who needed to get to their job at the hospital. You didn't know why they were being waved through. And I think there are sometimes situations where we can see things a different way. I was thinking, for example, if you're a parent who has one child with very complex needs, the other children quickly realise that that child just needs more of mum's attention, and they come to adapt to that. The key thing is that it's about God's viewpoint and not ours, God's compassion and not our judgment. So our first reading was from the book of Jonah. And he was, goodness me, he was in a place of it's not fair, wasn't he? He was absolutely inhabiting that place. He was in a very sulky place. He was an upright man of God. He was a prophet. He'd been brought up to know right from wrong from his earliest days. And he just couldn't understand how God could have compassion on the people of Nineveh who had led such terrible lives. And he was pretty dramatic, wasn't he, in his reaction. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. In effect, he was saying that he would rather die than let God have compassion on the people of Nineveh for their wicked behaviour. And he even said, I knew you are a compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from calamity, and yet he still feels it's unfair that God has chosen to forgive these people. But Jonah himself wasn't without sin, was he? He deliberately disobeyed God, he got on a ship, he went in the wrong direction, and he had to be brought back via a whale to do what God wanted him to do. But from his perspective, he still felt that it wasn't fair that God was saving the people of Nineveh. And so God had to use that shady plant that Michelle read to us about today in order to teach him a lesson. He sent this worm along to destroy this plant so it no longer gave shade to Jonah. And, of course, that annoyed him more. And then God said, you have been concerned about this plant, even though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their left hand from their right hand? It was about God's perspective and not Jonah's. And then this parable we're looking at today can be looked at from two different angles. A practical one about caring for the poor and those in need, and an eternal one about looking at faith and entry into heaven. So let's look at this story on the face of it as Jesus tells it. It's harvest time. The vineyard owner needs to hire more labourers to bring in his harvest of grapes in time so they don't spoil. And those seeking casual labour would have been the poorer people who didn't have regular jobs, the most needy, and they would have congregated in the marketplace in the hope of being hired. And working hours in Israel were from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So the owner went out five times at the start of the day at 6 a.m. and then again 3 hours later to employ those who are a bit late getting there. And then again in the heat of the day at 12 noon, and then again at 3 And finally, at 5 p.m, just 1 hour before the end of the working day, and probably picked up all the people who nobody else wanted to employ, the people who desperately needed to earn some money for some food. And up to this point, I think all the workers would have been happy because it was good that they were all given employment. But then the owner decides to pay them in reverse order, so they're in a line, and you can see that those who have just arrived line up first. They'd only worked an hour, and he pays them 1 denarius. And then, which was the amount that he'd agreed with the 6 a.m. workers to pay. And then he works down the line, paying everybody who'd worked for him the same amount. They all get 1 denarius. To those who had toiled for 12 hours in the blazing sun, I am sure they would have felt, that's not fair. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this landowner who showed compassion on these latecomers because they were poor and they'd been patiently waiting in the marketplace, seeking jobs without losing hope. They were desperately in need of food to pay to their starving families. And the vineyard owner had sympathy for them. And the other workers, they would have all known each other. They lived in the same village, but they didn't show that same concern, did they? Instead, they couldn't tolerate the generosity of the landowner who helped the latecomers. Although they knew that the landowner was not doing any injustice to them, they were envious of those who were paid the same amount for working less. But there's also another way to look at this parable that Jesus is wanting us to get hold of and the people that he was speaking to understand. And this is about God's relationship with the people that he has made. And those people in the marketplace represent all those in the world living apart from God, people who don't know God's love. We know that God loves everyone he's made and he wants to have a relationship with everybody. But not everyone has an opportunity to hear the message of the gospel or ever to know that love and have it explained to them, that love that God has for them. And I really love the image of the landowner going out time after time through the day, seeking for more people to work in his vineyard. It's a real image of God going out and searching for us, isn't it? And not giving up. Even at the 11th hour, it's not too late to come to faith. Some people only come to faith very late in their lives, but they're still welcomed with open arms into heaven. And if that's our loved one, we find that really exciting and really positive. But if that's a convicted murderer who repents at the last minute, we find that rather difficult, don't we? That's our problem, isn't it? That's about us putting judgment on that person rather than seeing them through God's eyes. Sometimes people don't have a good start in life. Sometimes they don't have good role models, people to teach them right from wrong. They might learn about what's right at school, but if it's not modelled in their everyday lives, it's far more likely they're going to follow the pattern of those around them. Jesus, the owner of the vineyard in the New Testament, came to redeem just such people. And this parable ends with that famous verse, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." We live in a society and at a time when we tend to think of ourselves as being entitled to our rights, our needs being provided for, our healthcare, our education, our jobs. And in one sense, yes, we are, because we pay our taxes. But we do have to guard against losing our compassion like Jonah did, or grumbling like the hard-working labourers did. We need to be constantly asking God to help us to see the world through his eyes of love and compassion. We have to be prepared to put ourselves into second place. So I think the challenge for us is to see things from God's perspective. So firstly, to have compassion on the poor and the needy. And secondly, to have compassion on those who don't know of God's love for them. When we're filled with that compassion, we can't help but live out our lives and live out that love by our words and by our deeds. I just wanted us to have a little moment of quiet now to pray and to speak to God. In the quiet, I just invite you to Just bring to God any situation where you feel you have been treated unfairly.